Proverbs chapter 1, turn there with me as we continue our study through this Old Testament book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, remember the wisdom of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. The wisdom of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And in our text for tonight, we see that wisdom is personified, portrayed as a person. But in this personification, we so clearly see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe clearly this is intended to be a type of Christ. Now, no type is perfect. There's a slight imperfection to all types, but this is clearly a picture of the Lord Jesus. Because, friend, to know wisdom is to know Jesus. To walk in wisdom is to walk with Jesus. They're not two different things. They are one and the same. Look at it with me. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof, I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. First of all, the reach of wisdom in verses 20 and 21. The reach of wisdom. Notice what it says. Wisdom shouts in the streets, lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. The reach. And isn't that just like our Lord Jesus when He came with the glorious gospel? It was for everyone. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's extended out there to all. And the God's wisdom, which is personified in Jesus Christ, is for everyone. The poor man can come to Jesus. The rich man can come to Jesus. The beggar can come to Jesus. The prince can come to Jesus. The pauper can come to Jesus. The up and out can come to Jesus. And the down and out can come to Jesus. It shouts out there for anyone who respond. The reach of wisdom. But I think there's something a little more here that ties this into the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does wisdom go in her ministry here? Well, out in the street, out in the noisy square. That's where all the common people were. That's where all of us normal people are. Isn't that what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus? The Bible says the common man heard Him gladly. Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. Now that doesn't mean He's taking it away from anyone else. His point is, so very often those who are rich and those who have this world, a lot of these world's possessions and have their life going along great, they won't listen to anyone else. Man, they think they've got it figured out. They think they got it made. So I'll just preach to those who will receive my message. And here we see wisdom going down to the streets. And my friend, that's where Jesus went, down to the streets. And that's where His apostles preached, down to the street. What happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit anointed those followers of Jesus? Where did they go? Out into the busy street and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the message of wisdom or the gospel of Christ, same difference, I believe, here, is for the man on the street, not for the scholar in the tower. When God says, I want to pour out my wisdom on man, and I'm going to send my son, He didn't send him to the intellectual elite down at the seminaries in Jerusalem, just a common man out witnessing to common people. The reach of wisdom. You can come to know God. You can receive God's wisdom. You can know forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Your life can have a new start because He reaches out to you. It's out there. And you have to reject it. You must refuse it, or you can receive it. The reach of wisdom. But next, the number two point is the message of wisdom in verses 22 and 23. In other words, those who are wise or who follow true wisdom will do the following things. Those who are wise or those who will heed to true wisdom will do the following things. Number one, confession. Look at verse 22. Confession. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? What's the point here? He says, I see these people out there. They push away God's wisdom. They push away the way of salvation. They laugh and mock and ridicule and scoff at the way of God, and they love their way. They hate the true knowledge of God. They want their way. And that's what he's saying. He's saying there needs to be a confession. How do I get confession here? Confession means to agree with God. Agree with God about what? Agree with God that my way is foolish. My way won't save me. My way can't help me. My way is the way of destruction. I admit that. God, I come to your way. Confession. Agree with God. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus was teaching, for example, in the Beatitudes when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That blessed means well off or happy. What does he mean, well off or happy are you if you're poor in spirit? He means you're on the right track if you realize you can't save yourself. You're on the right track when you realize your wisdom, your knowledge, your way can't get the job done. And you're poor in spirit, you're saying, God, I can't do it. I'm at despair as far as my potential and my enablements and my abilities to meet my need and to save myself. I confess I need you. Same thing Jesus taught. Don't be one who loves your simplicity and loves this world's way and hates the true knowledge of God. So the first thing we see here under the message of wisdom is confession. But secondly, repentance. Repentance. Look at verse 23. The very first phrase says, turn to my reproof. Turn to my reproof. It means turning from self and sin and embracing God in righteousness. A turning from self and sin to embrace righteousness. That's the essence of repentance. Now, keep your ribbon there in Proverbs and go over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we notice the preaching of the Lord Jesus. As soon as he began his ministry, what was a key and central component of the preaching of Jesus? Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Turn to my reproof, Jesus says. Turn from your way of sin and self, thinking you can do it your way. Turn from that and embrace my way, the gospel. Embrace a dead Savior on a cross as your only hope of salvation. That's repentance. The Lord Jesus preached repentance. Wisdom in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, says repent. So we see confession and we see repentance, the same things Jesus preached. But another thing here under the message of wisdom, we see faith. We see faith back over in Proverbs where he says, turn to my reproof means a turning to and embracing of my wisdom, my knowledge, and my instruction. For the lost man, what is God's wisdom? What is God's knowledge? What is God's instruction? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word to the lost man. That's God's wisdom for the lost man. Turn and believe by faith. Now, while we're over in the Gospels, look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 44 through 49. Luke 7, 44. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Verse 48. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him begin to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? Verse 50. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So what did Jesus preach? He preached faith. Just like we see in the first chapter of Proverbs. Wisdom says, hey, you need to agree with God, confess. Wisdom says, hey, you need to turn away from your way and from sin, and by faith embrace, receive the truth of God, which is composed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the remainder of the message? If we confess our sins and we repent of our sins and turn and by faith say, Jesus, you're my trust and hope. Not me, not my works, not my merit, not my religion, but you, Jesus, are my salvation. You see, faith doesn't save you, Jesus saves you. But you put faith in Jesus. Well, what's the result of that? Communion. Fellowshipping with God. Well, Brother Jeff, is that in Proverbs 2? Look at it real carefully. Turn over to Proverbs 1:23, following verse by verse. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. Now, folks, wisdom can't pour out a spirit, but Jesus can. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, once you confess that you're a sinner, you turn in repentance from your sin and place your faith on me, then I will come in and I will fellowship with you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we can commune together. We can fellowship together. Friends, salvation is so that you might get back what Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. What did they lose in the Garden of Eden? Intimacy and oneness with God. We get that back when we're saved. Is this what Jesus preached? Absolutely. Again, keep your finger in Proverbs, but turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, our comforter. Means another of the same kind, that He will be with you forever. And then verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Isn't that what wisdom said over there? I'll pour out my spirit and make my words known. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So we see here Jesus is the wisdom of the Old Testament. And the wisdom of the Old Testament points to Jesus. Well, we've seen the reach of wisdom and then the message of wisdom. Notice thirdly, the rejection of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24, wisdom says, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. I've got so many verses here, you may want to just jot them down. Luke 13, 34, Matthew 11, 19, Matthew 13, 3 through 13. Just a few of the passages where Jesus said, I came and offered you salvation. I came and shared with you the gospel that could save you. I gave you the wisdom of God. I gave you the only hope to have your sin forgiven and get yourself in a right standing before a holy God. And you what? You neglected my counsel and turned from my reproof. They rejected Jesus, just as wisdom in the Old Testament says, they rejected me. I'm going to tell you, the wisdom here of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, sat over there and looked over the mountain down at Jerusalem. And I'm just paraphrasing, but He said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. He wept over it. How I would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not have it. You rejected it. You turned it away. And that's exactly what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected to the point to where they nailed Him to a cross and hung Him suspended between heaven and earth and left Him to die. Wisdom says, I called, I stretched out. Jesus did everything He could to say, receive me, believe on me, accept me. But so many still reject Him. Matter of fact, the majority still reject Him. So we see the rejection of wisdom. Now, the fourth thing we see here under the wisdom of God is the result of rejecting wisdom. the result. What happens when one rejects wisdom? What happens when one rejects the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, look at verse 26. I will even laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your dread comes. Judgment, my friend. Judgment is what the Old Testament writer of Proverbs says. In other words, there's going to be an absolute, fully deserving of the punishment and the judgment that will come. Notice verse 27, a little bit about that judgment that comes on those who reject the wisdom of God. When your dread comes on like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you. Keep your finger there and go to Matthew 11. Just to give you an example, this is what Jesus preached. I get so tired of hearing liberals talk about Jesus. Now, he just loved everybody. Well, he certainly did. But I want to tell you, this same Jesus also preached a whole lot about hell and preached a whole lot about judgment and preached a whole lot about the wrath to come if you don't receive salvation. So it's not do you preach judgment or do you preach love. You preach both. They're both in the Word. Matthew 11, verse 20. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, you rejected the message. You rejected the signs that showed that I was the Messiah, and you should have received me. Verse 22, nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Isn't that what the writer of Proverbs is saying? In chapter 1, verse 27, the judgment storm is coming on, and those who reject wisdom, those who reject the Lord Jesus, will endure that judgment storm. Now let's follow a little bit further. We're still talking about the result of those who reject God's wisdom. Look at verses 28 through 32 of Proverbs chapter 1. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Friend, you can't come to God and come to Christ for salvation anytime you want to. You can't plan it out and work it out and say, man, I'm going to live it up and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to be a pretty good gal or a pretty good guy and one day I'll make my peace with God. You do not have that option. There is a cutoff time and a deadline with God, and you keep spurning the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus. You keep pushing Him away. You keep saying, well, I may do it some other time. And there could be a time when you'll desire to call on Him, but God's deadline has come and you don't have that option. Why? Verse 29, because God's mean? No, because they hated knowledge. There was a time when it was stretched out to you. It was out there reaching out to you, wanting you to receive it, wanting you to be saved. And you rejected it and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, you chose to honor your way of life instead of respecting, honoring, i.e. fearing the Lord's way. If you fear the Lord, it means I respect and revere His way and I want to honor His way. But no, you threw that away and said, no, I'm going to follow my way. Verse 30, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them. What does he mean, naive? Those who are not aware, those who have not received the way of God. What's the way of God? Receiving Jesus, trusting Jesus as your Savior, placing faith in Jesus. You keep pushing that away, it's going to kill you. The complacency of fools shall destroy them. You're complacent about the way of God, just drifting along, just trotting along, just doing your own thing. The Bible says that's the way of destruction. Now, did Jesus preach these kind of truths that one, if you just keep going, you can be cut off? If you just keep going, your heart will get hard and you can't be saved? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And look at verses 14 and 15. In their case, Matthew 13, verse 14. In their case, the case of these people who pushed away and rejected Christ and His message. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. What's the point there? You can keep preaching the gospel to you, but God has let your heart become so hard and you can no longer perceive it or receive it. You know, there are people, and possibly in a crowd this size, there are some sitting here tonight that you hear the words out of my mouth, but you're dulled spiritually. You can no longer understand. Because you had your chance and had your chance and had your chance and had your chance, and God said, I'll not be mocked any longer. I'll let your heart grow hard. You keep on hearing, but you can't receive it. It's an inability. But friend, I want you to know, you may be the brightest, most alert, most successful person with a brilliant mind, but you can grow spiritually hard to where God says, we reached out and reached out and reached out, but you rejected it and you can't receive it anymore. That's why it's so amazing when we see mature adult men and women coming to Jesus, because very often they've gone too far already. That's what Jesus is preaching in verse 14 of Matthew 13. You'll keep on hearing but will not understand. You'll keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people's become dull. They dulled their own heart. And God says, I'll just let you go on in your dullness. And with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes as they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return, and I should heal them. In other words, they went so far in their rejection, so far in pushing God away and Christ and the plan of salvation away, that now God says, okay, I'm going to let you remain in that state lest you hear, understand, and be healed. That means spiritual healing. That means coming to salvation. I want to tell you something, friend. That's the result of rejecting the wisdom of God. That's the result of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot receive Him and come to Him anytime you choose. You come when He chooses. The Bible says today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. In other words, when you hear the gospel message and you realize that you too, like every one of us and everyone who's ever lived except Christ, that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, and you reach out and say, Christ, I know I need you to forgive me and save me. I need what those other people have. The Bible says if you understand that, respond to it. Respond. Don't push it away. Don't reject it. Well, we see the reach of wisdom. We've seen the message of wisdom, confession, repentance, faith, so you have communion. We see the rejection of wisdom and the result of rejecting wisdom. And now lastly, the result of receiving wisdom. The result of receiving wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. But what a grand and glorious and climactic but that is. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Surely I know that means that those who know the Lord should listen to wisdom so they can live a better life. But I tell you also, it is a message to those who never received the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus, because He can keep you securely if you listen to Him. That's why Jesus often said in the gospel, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you still hear? Young person, are you listening? Are you going your own way, doing your own thing? Can you still hear? Is the Holy Spirit still saying, don't do that anymore? Don't live like that anymore? Jesus, if you've got ears to hear, you better hear now. Because one day you may can no longer receive it. Last time, turn over to the New Testament, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the teaching of Jesus. You ever realize this is all one book? It's the hymn book. It's the book about Him, the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. And then you add on Ephesians 1:13, says you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, If you'll hear my words and come to me, I hold you in my hand from Satan and from destruction and from punishment. And then not only that, he said, the Father's greater than me and he's got you in his hand. He said, then you seal all of that up with the Holy Spirit. I like what the black preacher said. He said, for Satan to get me, he's got to come through the Holy Spirit, got to come through God the Father, and got to come through God the Son. If he gets that much through, get that much of the Godhead, old Satan himself will get saved. Listen, Jesus said, if you'll hear these words, he said it over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. He said, if you'll listen to me, you'll live securely. Would you listen to Jesus? Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Would you hear Jesus? Would you come to him tonight? Would you be saved? He'll keep you securely and safely forever.